Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. You know, I just finished my other Bible study that God has put back in my heart to get back into, and it's called Morning Glory Nation. Shout out to the Morning Glory Nation. Hallelujah. Pastor Few, thank you. Preach the word this morning. Shake it off. We got to shake off all those things that have us bound. We got to shake off the sleep. Shake off the stress. Shake off the things that are not of God. We got to shake it off. And we got to understand that it's His mercy that endures forever. His mercy endures forever. I'm going to give our psalm word before we get started this morning, because it just touched my heart that even when we're going through, I just drove on yesterday, my children and I, over 11 hours combined to and from our destination, because I was on an assignment. God gave me an assignment that I needed to see my father-in-law in the hospital. 96 years old, as you know, because many of you have prayed with me and for me. 96 years old in the hospital, dealing with COVID, as I stated on yesterday. We travel to and from. I don't know where the energy came from. I don't know where the strength came from. I just know it was there. But today, I got to go to work. And today is a 12-hour work day for me. And I needed that word this morning because I didn't want to wake up. I didn't want to get up. Didn't want to have to deal with anything. I was just going to sleep it off. I was not going to get up. I was like, I'm not going to worry about doing a word this morning because I'm tired. And God said, get up. He woke me up. Not once, but twice, but three times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I looked at my watch, and it looked like time is still still. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, you're giving me time to do what I need to do. And my phone gives notifications. And the notification came that said Morning Glory Nation was starting. And so I was like, let me get on here. And it was just the word I needed. I needed. Just like I give you all the word, we as ministers and pastors and teachers, we need a word too. We need to be poured into as well. And I needed that shaking it off word. Woo! I needed that word. I'm shaking it off this morning. Grateful that God, whew, thank you, Lord, that God gives us what we need when we need it, that God allows us to have a do-over And he will wake you up and help you shake off the sleep, shake off any stress, shake off anything that's bothering you, because his mercy endures forever. God is merciful, and he loves us, and he cares about us, and he wants the best for us. So I'm grateful. You know, 11 hours for an hour trip. My job, my assignment was to go to that hospital, dress up in all the gear, pray over my father-in-law in person, sing him a song, and just love on him for an hour, and to let him know that God was with him. And we left when he was able to have a peaceful sleep, give him peace in his rest. And I watched the angels of heaven come in, straightened him up, and give him peaceful rest. So I'm thankful. I'm grateful that whatever God's decision, whatever's God's will, I'm ready for it. I'm ready. I pray it's some more time. But if it's not, if it's his time to go to be with the Lord, I'm good with it, because I've seen his face. I've touched his hands. I've kissed his forehead. And I've prayed. Because we all know, if you listen to this blog, that prayer changes things. And that when the enemy throws all the heaviness of everything at you and on you, you got to shake it off. I tell the children, I'm over the youth praise team, and when they get to having little issues with each other, I say, no, we're not going forth. You're not doing anything until you shake that off. We are not allowing the enemy to attach anything to you. Shake it off. And they shake it off. And they like to shake it off. They get to moving them shoulders. They get to, I said, you got to push it off. You got to shake it off. They like it. But they go up with a different attitude. And we as adults and we as men and women of God, just like Pastor Few spoke this morning on MGN, we got to shake off our situations, problems. If you're having issues with your children, shake it off and pray. Shake it off and pray. And the word he was preaching this morning dealt with Paul, how the enemy tried to take him out in the ocean before he could go and preach in Rome, how he tried to take him out in Malta with the viper attaching itself. What did Paul do? Shook it off. Shook it off, and they waiting and watching for him to die. But he didn't. Then they wanted to make him a god. He said, not a god. And we got to shake off. Sometimes folks want to give you a whole bunch of accolades that belong to the Lord, and you got to shake it off. Say, not mine, but God. Not mine, but God. Because we do what God assigns us to do. If God assigns you to drive 11 hours for a 45-minute to hour trip, then you do it. And you do it with gladness. You do it with joy, because it's love. And I thank God this morning that he woke me up and that I'm shaking off sleep. I'm shaking it off, family, because it's time to go to work. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, I am so grateful. I am so thankful, and I know that I'm blessed to have traveled, Lord God, to see Daddy, that when I left, he was in peaceful rest. I thank you, Lord God, for a sister-in-law that loves her father kind enough to share him with me, that she loves him so much and it's there 24/7. Whatever she got to do, she's going to do out of love. Father God, I pray we have that same kind of daughter, father, love for you, that whatever we need to do for you, we do it because we love you. Not because of self-grandizement or anything else, but because we love you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. For you are our Daddy God. And I thank you this morning for this mighty word that's to go forth. Lord, we know that you give us warning. You give us an understanding. You send us a prophet to speak and to get us on track. Thank you, Lord God, for W Faith Ministries. These women are wonderful, and I am grateful to be their director, to be their leader, the pastor over women. I am so thankful to my pastor, my shepherd, for giving me this opportunity. And as always, they go forth in excellence. So shout out to them, oh God. Cover each and every one of them, for you know each and every one's situation and what they're going through. Lord, I lift them all up. I lift up their children and their families, oh God, that you watch over our pastor, that you watch over all the women of the Table of Life Ministries, and that you watch over everyone that listens to this moving forward message and are part of this experience of Bible study. Lord God, I lift up all the fivefold ministries today. For we know that there's an attack. But Father God, we're asking you to give us the strength to shake off the wiles of the enemy to make you want to feel some kind of way. Father God, we're shaking it off today. We're giving it all to you, for your mercy endures forever. You are God, and I give you thanks today. Thanks, as your word says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. I give you thanks, Father God, for the reading and the teaching of your word. I pray, Lord God, that you increase as I decrease, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, for I make this word personal, that of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God, for you are my strength. You woke me up this morning. You started me on my way. You gave me a message just for me that I had to shake off sleep. I had to shake off anything that was not like you. I'm shaking off any spirits attack and saying, you got a headache, you need to stay home. The devil is a lie. I got work to do. I got work to do for you, and I got work to do for my assignment. Thank you, Father God, for strength. Thank you, Father God, for everything. And again, Lord God, increase as I decrease. And let these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Daddy God, are my strength and my redeemer. And I place this word in your hand. I place my voice in your hand. I place all of me in your hand. For you are my Father, and I know that you have me covered in your loving wings, and that I don't have to hang in there because my Savior has done it for me. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Giving thanks to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm filled up this morning. And I don't know if Pastor Fred is listening in or not, but thank you, Pastor Fred. I needed that shake it off word this morning. You know, again, we as ministers and teachers and pastors and preachers, we need to get a word ourselves. So many times we pour out, and there are those that don't let anybody pour in. We got to be poured into as well. we got to get a word ourselves. Because we get a word, it gives us strength. Because when you pray, prayer warriors, they get drained. And they need something to fill them up too. They need the word of God to give them strength that they need to move forward. So pray for your pastors. Lift up those prayer warriors that are always praying for you. Lift up the ministers and the elders and the deacons and the stewards who are in your church congregation. Lift up your pastors. Lift up all those that are in leadership. Because as they pour into you, they need to be poured into. So just throwing that out there. But I tell you this, we got to give thanks to the Lord, for it's his mercy that endures forever. He gives us strength, for he is our strength, strength like no other. Hallelujah. As the song says, reaches to me. Thanking Jesus, thanking God, thanking the Holy Spirit for this assignment. And we are coming this October the 11th day. Wow. Time is flying by. From Jeremiah chapter 7. And it says this, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord. He didn't say, hear the word of Jeremiah, did he? He said, hear the word of the Lord. All you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Jeremiah's preaching this morning. He's got a prophetic word for us. Are you listening? Because some folks think that all they got to do is go to church and they cover for the week. Pull out the Bible for that day and put it back in the car and bring it out again next Sunday. But all during the week, they'll read the Bible. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't taste it. See that the Lord is good. I'm covered. I went to church Sunday. No, it's more than that. We got to study and meditate on this word day and night. We got to look at our word more than just on Sunday. And we got to have the house of the Lord inside of us. We are the temple. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We got to say that about our house. I'm not meaning to preach this morning, but this word is just fill me up, and I just got filled up this morning. And it goes on to say, but if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land and I that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name? And say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. So don't think you can come on Sunday after you've been at the club on Saturday night. Talk about praise the Lord as you sing in the choir and dance on the praise dancing team. Come on now. But you was dropping like it was hot at the club on Saturday night, and you think you could come. I digress because I was about to go there. But God knows everything. But then we are blessed because his mercy endures forever. Let's keep going. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 12. But go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people, Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to do this place, which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women gnaw bread, gnaw dough, to make cake for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on a man and on a beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground. And it will burn and not be quenched. Whoa, don't mess with God. Don't play church. Don't be out there trying to play church. God sees everything, and he knows everything. Gotta stop it. God knows our heart. God knows our heart. And he loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. Ooh, he loves us anyway. And as we continue in this word this morning, I just wanted to go over something real quick, because I've seen it in different things, and I'm like, okay, what does this mean? And so I went, and I'm looking. It says, theological basis, Queen of Heaven is one of many queen titles used of Mary, Mother of Jesus. The title derived in part from the ancient Catholic teaching that Mary, at the end of her earthly life, was boldly and spiritually assumed into heaven, and that she is there honored as queen. But God has said in the Old Testament, we're not supposed to do that, right? That's what it says. It's not said in a good way. And this is what it says also. Is there a Queen of Heaven in the Bible? Hebrew Bible references the Queen of Heaven is mentioned in the Bible and has been associated with a number of different goddesses by different scholars, including Anet, Esther, and Ishtar, Ashtaroth, as a composite figure. So it's not a good thing to be referred to as the Queen of Heaven. And this is what it says in Jeremiah that we're reading. And it says, the Queen of Heaven, a fertility goddess to whom the Israelites, especially the women, offered sacrifice and worship in the days of the fall. So don't get caught up in doctrine of folks that need to read the Word of God, because we cannot get caught up in no Queen of Heaven stuff. There is no Queen of Heaven, and Mary is not her. It's a fertility, it's occultist. And it's not godly. And God just spoke on it. I'm going to read again. 18. The children gather wood. The fathers not kindle the fire. And the women gnaw dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Be careful what you're following around after. You got to be careful. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man, on beast, on trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. We shall not have any other God before our God. Be careful what you allow to get into your ear gates and into your eye gates. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them to the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings of sacrifice. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsel and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backwards and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their necks. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth, your hair, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they were buried in Tophet until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause a cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. And as Jeremiah spoke in this word, Dr. Stanley gave this scripture as a life lesson. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. That's a highlightable. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. God desires prosperity for you. He wants you to be a whole person, balanced and growing and fruitful and fulfilling his purpose for your life. So ask yourself, what do I desire? How am I acting on it? Pagan deities might be believed to call for human sacrifice in worship. You think that through. But God never does that. He wants to give life, not take it. He wants to bless us, not terrify us. He wants us to love him, not cower before him. God has not asked you to sacrifice your children to him. That's not of God. We got to read the word of God and study it day and night. But remember, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And if God tells you to travel 11 hours for a 45-minute visit, then you do it. If God tells you to go out and get sandwiches and give to the poor and the needy, when you probably are in need yourself, you do it. And God will bless you exponentially. I'm trusting God that all things work for our good because we trust in the Lord and we obey his voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your mercy endures forever. And it says, at times, says the Lord, chapter 8 of Jeremiah, the prophet is preaching this morning. They shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of his princes and the bones of the priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, which they have loved and which they have served and after which they have walked, which they have sought and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, not buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. Then the death shall be chosen. The death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back to Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned on his own course as a horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false being of the scribes certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Whew. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grape shall be on the vine, nor fig on the fig tree, and the leaves shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of help, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the name of his strong ones. But they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. I will comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Wow. That's a word this morning, family. and some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And we have what the Bible says for this Jeremiah word. In Jeremiah 8:9, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? This word is our wisdom. This word gives us strength. This word teaches us. And it says this: whenever we disobey the word of God, we reject God's wisdom for what we consider to be more potent or effective wisdom, but it never turns out that way. Wisdom apart from God always leads to death. And this is what it says about the comforter. It says what the Bible says about God, our comforter. Jeremiah 18:18, and that word is this: I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. And this is what Dr. Stanley has to say. And he says, the recognition of God's power to heal your heart is a key component to experiencing his tender love. In the midst of great pain, Jeremiah acknowledged his sadness and the ability of God to comfort him. So he cried out, I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Centuries earlier, King David mourned, reproach have broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Psalms 69:20. In the people around him, he could find no solace. But near the end of his song, his tune had changed. And you who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Psalm 32:33. Where do you look for comfort? If you have relied on human remedies, you know how their effectiveness diminishes over time. Some try food or alcohol or drugs or escape into fantasy, anything to attempt to outrun the pain. But when the artificial glow wears off and the dream ends, the ache remains. There is no such thing as a life without pain and trial, and therefore no such thing as a person without need or comfort. Dr. Stanley, no, he preaches. Don't let anyone deceive you into thinking that the key to leading a joyful Christian life is avoiding pain. Because I'm going to tell you this, most ministries are coming out of pain. When I speak on the women's ministry, it came out of pain. It was birthed out of pain in my life. So much has come from pain. But I thank God for it because it makes you stronger and it makes you trust in God and not in man. It says, and it goes on to tell us, that simply is not possible in this simple world, and neither is it profitable for us. God could choose to insulate you from hurt, but instead he allows you to experience the tough times that draw you closer to him. Thank you, God. I'm thanking God for some tough times that I'm going through and am going through. But I thank him because it's making me stronger and making me dependent on him. Out of your pain comes a need for God as he ministers to you and you accept it with thanksgiving and a desire to learn. You become equipped to minister to those he chooses. Let me go there. Let me get back there. One more time. He ministers to you and you accept it with thanks, desire to learn. You become equipped to minister to those he places within your reach. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Hurting individuals know there is no substitute for experience. You can reach for God's comfort right now. Ask him to give you solace and find yourself wrapped in the love that will not let you go. Thank you, God, for your loving wings. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for being a God in the midst of everything in my life. Thank you, God, for being who you are. Great and wonderful is our God. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, God, this morning. I got it. I'm filled up. That even when you're going through, when you trust in God, he will bring you through all your storms. Hallelujah. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 8:22. Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Even in Jeremiah's day, God offered hope and healing to his spiritually diseased people, but they had to come to him and accept his prescription to find life. We will never find life anywhere else. You know, I say it again. By his stripes, I am healed. By his grace and his mercy, I am made whole. Hallelujah. And as we get into our psalm word this morning, it's Psalms 118, verses 1 through 4. And this is the title of our lesson this morning. And it says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. And that's all the saints need to say, Lord God, thank you for your mercy endures forever. Even when he did what he did and allowed to happen to the children of Judah and Israel, he's going to call us all back home one day. There's a desire that's in each heart that I got to go home. I got to go home. Where is your home? Ask God. And this is what he says, let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Let's say it together, family. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy toward us. His mercy endures forever. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that your mercy endures forever. And as Proverbs 27:5-6 say, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. You know, folks want to get mad at pastors who give them reprimands, who give them constructive criticism. I ain't got time for all of that. Don't try to tell me how to do this and how to do that. I don't need to go to that church. I ain't thinking about them. Pastor think he running everything. He ain't running me. He ain't running my life. She ain't going to tell me what to do. Cannot take constructive criticism when you know in your heart that you was out of line. You know in your heart you was not in your lane. You know in your heart that you did something wrong. But instead of asking forgiveness and accepting the criticism that was constructive, you're going to leave the church. How many folks leave the house of God over manufactured? They can't tell me what to do. Because this is what the word of God says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But yet they go running over here. Because this pastor was nice to me. And they was kind. And they understand my problem. They ain't trying to tell me what to do. And then when you find out that everything that glitters ain't gold and all that grass that you thought was so green on the other side wasn't nothing but weeds, we better understand God will correct you. And he gives pastors, he gives prophets, he gives teachers and preachers words that will beat your behind because he is correcting you to be better. I know I got a whole bunch of stuff I got to do better. And I thank God for the correction. Thank God for the correction. Because I know it's because he loves me and he wants me to be better. As we go into this new word this morning, we are in Colossians, which we started on yesterday. We're in Colossians chapter 2 for those that are just joining us this morning. And it has been a rich, 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 say it again, rich word today. And it says this in Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to read that again. So we get it in our spirit. It says, and I'm going to start at verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Hearts may be encouraged, knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In the Father and in the Son are the treasures hidden of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge comes from the Father and the Son. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. I'm going to read that again. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. But in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead fully. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. It's not from anybody. Increase is from God. Increase is from God. Man has nothing to do with it. God is the one that makes those decisions. Increase, say it with me, comes from God. Therefore, if you die with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? You know, you got to get up. You got to put your left foot in your pants leg first. Then you put your right leg in. Then you put your right sock on. Then you put your left sock on. Then you put your right shoe on, then you put your left shoe on, then you make sure that you have, you have to wear white, you can't wear blue, no, because that's just not, you have to wear black, you can't wear white, don't put on that purple, You're not royalty. You can't wear that. Wait a minute. Hold it. You can't do that. No, you can't. You hear more you can't in some restrictive doctrine than you have can. And do it all. Where do you see Jesus? Where do you see Jesus in it? You have worship of everything but Jesus. And then you got to coexist. You know, we got to coexist when the word of God says there's only one God. Isn't that what it says? I do believe it does say one God. And he can do whatever he pleases. But we forget that there's one God and chasing here, chasing there, chasing after. Oh, what my zodiac sign says, that today I'm a Pisces and I'm going to have a great day and that I'm going to do all the things I'm supposed to do because I'm just great. That's what my horoscope says. What did you say? Really? Don't read that mess. I'm gonna be honest up front. I used to be one of the people. Well, let me check my horoscope. Your horoscope doesn't do anything. That's a lot of nonsense. And sometimes I'm not gonna tell a story. I've looked at it and it was on point. But then I stopped and think, so it's not this horoscope. It's on point because God already told me all this. This is nothing new. You know, folks take what God says and throw it in under a horoscope and call it, oh, I'm giving you a word from the horoscope. No. You didn't have anything to do with that. God's in charge of everything. It is God that gives us our destinies, our days through his prophetic word. All you got to do is open up your Bible. And your word of God is going to tell you everything you need. And the word for today is his mercy endures forever. That's a word from God. His mercy endures forever. You don't need to pick up a newspaper to see what your horoscope says for today. You're getting involved with the occult, and you need to stop it. This is that time of year, and I'm going to read this word. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrine of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You got all these rules and regulations, and you have no understanding of the love of God. All these rules and regulations, and you forget all about Jesus in the midst of it. You have all these rules and regulations, and you're just as full of infection as you was before you went in for prayer, for supplication, to lay your burdens on the altar. But I'm sorry, you can't lay your burdens on the altar because you can't go to the altar. Altar is set aside for this group. So you can't go up to the altar. We better understand. The enemy has taken God and bastardized him, changed what he says to whatever it is that the enemy wants you to hear. We got to trust God. And how do you do it? You read his word for yourself. I can get up and I can say, in a word, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then I can go and I can preach you a message on giving thanks. And you know, you got to give thanks to God for that new Cadillac in your garage. You got to give thanks to God for that new house that you got, that new house that you're going to get. You got to give thanks to God for that large bank account. Where is there in there? You got to give thanks to God for his son who died on Calvary's cross for you. You got to give thanks to God for blessing you with children who love you. You got to give thanks to God for giving you men and women of God into your life who are willing and ready always to pray with you when you are in need, as you are always willing to pray for them when they're in need, because we trust in the Most High God.
We got to get out of that prosperity foolishness. It's not about stuff. Because I tell you what, that new Cadillac in your garage is going to be here when you die. That beautiful house that you own is going to be here when you die. All that money in the bank is going to be here for your children or for somebody else to have when you die. But the one thing that nothing can take away from you is your spirit. It's the love that you get from the word of God, because you know that God is wrapping you in his arms, that he is whispering in your ear, wake up, baby. It's time to go to work. Get up, daughter. It's time to go to school. It's the voice of God that wraps you in his loving arms, and you feel the cool breeze that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so when we say his mercy endures forever, and oh, give thanks for he is good, it's because you feel the love of God. And that's what we need to keep foremost in our mind, the love of God. And this is some life lessons from Dr. Stanley for this Colossian word. And it says this: as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. How do you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? By faith. And that is exactly how you grow into maturity, by faith. Through faith, you depend upon God's Spirit to mold you into the image of Christ. I believe faith is the key for everything in our life. You've got to have faith that God will provide, that God will take care of your problems today, tomorrow, and forevermore when you trust in him and give thanks to him. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 and 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It may be impossible for us to understand how Jesus could be totally human and totally divine, but that is the clear teaching of Scripture. He who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 14:9, since all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus, and Jesus dwells in you through the Spirit, then it only makes sense that in him you are complete. What could be lacking in all the fullness of the Godhead? Colossians 2:23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. And we read those. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but all are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Spiritual problems need spiritual answers. We cannot train the flesh to act more godly, because even when it behaves, it sins by congratulating itself for its success. The flesh needs to be crucified, not retained or retrained. Hallelujah. And a word real quick before we get out of here from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And our word for today is this: the tongue is very powerful. Let your words be positive of love today. Speak the word of God. Declare it over everything you're involved with. Watch how change will take place. Have a motivated Monday. And on that word, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. For the word of God through our prophet has gone forth, and we thank God. And one more time before we get out of here, his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord today, family. And we're just going to go to that Psalm word that we started with. We're going to end with, and then it's a wrap. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, and stay with me, y'all, because we all fear the Lord. We love him and we fear him, because he is our dad, and he loves us.
and he will discipline us, and he will do what he needs to do to make us and help us to be the best we can be. And we say together, Father God, we thank you because his mercy endures forever. Let all the saints this morning say with me, his mercy endures forever. Let us lift up the name of Jesus today and say, his mercy endures forever. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed and know that God is with you wherever you go because his mercy endures forever. Speak life. Know that death and life is in the power. The power of death and life is in the membrane. And as Sister Carolyn has said, we're going to speak some life today, family. We're going to speak positives over ourselves and over others. Tongue is very powerful. One more time. Let your words be positive and of love today. Speak the word of God. Declare it over everything you're involved with. Watch how change will take place. Have a motivated Monday, family. As we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. And why? Because we got to go to work. So go to work. Have a good day. I love you all. Please join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And again, thank you all for your prayers for my father-in-law. Thank you for your prayers for traveling grace and mercy for my sons and I. Thank you for your prayers just to pray because we know that prayer changes everything. More prayer, more power. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.